that the result was obtained. Chapter example. Sending unexpected, beautiful, physical items like Online Trainer Academy is an unanticipated touchpoint for an online company. Following up these interactions with another personalized gift allows the organization to share in the celebration of a job well done, like ongoing operations does, when their customers reach major milestones and achieve their goals. Phone. A congratulatory call and conversation shows the customer that the company was aware of the customer's expectations for the engagement or interaction, and that it celebrates the milestone of achieving them. Genuine words of praise allow for the acknowledgement of the journey to date, noting both ups and downs, and help set the tone for any future interactions. Chapter example. A thoughtful follow-up call to see if the customer enjoyed their experience, like the one Barrow does, not only exhibits an above and beyond attitude, but it opens the door for the customer to share their honest opinions and in some instances suggest additional ways to do business with them even before you attempt an upsell. Video. A congratulatory video from the entire team allows for this milestone to be marked and celebrated at the same time. Making sure that the brand's spirit and energy comes out in this video further cements the relationship and makes it clear that the customer's success is in direct alignment with the company's desired impact for its products or services. Chapter example. A thoughtful video message, like the one Barrow sends, received after the customer achieves their goal, adds a level of remarkability to the overall experience and is a unique and memorable way to mark the milestone. This type of communication also builds a deeper level of connection and rapport between an organization and its customers, as it is clear to the recipient that the sender went beyond the expected or required interaction to create something special. Present. The familiar practice of using gifts and presents to celebrate milestones and accomplishments in an individual's personal life makes transitioning this practice to the world of business fairly simple. Gifts that acknowledge the journey or the result further establish the importance of the moment. Celebratory food and drink can enhance the accomplishment and bring people closer together. Chapter example. Sending playful presents like Ongoing Operations, Online Trainer Academy, and Yoko Code Do to customers upon completion of landmark achievements brings a sense of levity and fun to an otherwise serious business engagement, while also adding a touch of celebration for a job well done. Your assignment. Put these ideas to work. Now that you have a clear understanding of the accomplish phase, answer a series of questions that are designed to get you thinking about how you can use each of the communication tools to enhance the overall experience during this phase of the customer journey. Show that you can accomplish the goal you had when purchasing this audiobook and take the time to answer these questions that will help you implement what you're learning. Evaluating the current situation. Answer each question, then write two or three sentences explaining your answer. For bonus points, write down any ideas you have for changes that would make your answers better. Number one, what is the goal your customer is trying to reach? Hint, if you offer different types of products and services, there may be different or multiple goals. However, every customer has one primary goal that is the most important. If you don't know what that is, how will you know when or if they achieve it? Number two, describe in detail the goal that the customer seeks. Do you describe it the same way the customer does? What does it feel like for the customer to accomplish this? How does the customer know they have achieved it? How do you know that the customer has achieved it? Number three, What percentage of your customers do you think achieved the goals they had when purchasing your product or services? What percentage of your customers are you certain achieved those goals? Number 4. In your current business, do you create remarkable experiences during the accomplish phase? If so, what are they? Number 5. On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is pathetic and 10 is world class, how would you rate the experience your customers currently have in the accomplish phase? Don't worry if you score yourself low. It just means there is room for improvement. Tools to enhance the future experience. Answer each question by coming up with 2 or 3 ideas for using the specific tool to enhance the customer experience. I've said it before, but please don't worry about how much it will cost, who will do it, or how to get it implemented in your organization. You can worry about those things later. Number 1. How can you use in-person interactions during this phase to celebrate the customer's achievement? Number 2. How can you time your emails to celebrate as soon as the customer's primary goal is accomplished? Number 3. How can a customized mail piece celebrate the customer reaching this important milestone? Number 4. How can phone conversations add a level of personalization and sincerity to your message of congratulations? Number 5. How can videos be used to infuse fun and humor into the moment a customer achieves their goal? Number 6. What present or presents could you give customers that would really make them feel accomplished? Pick one now. If you've answered all the questions, and by now, surely you're not just listening, you have a clear understanding of the customer experience during the accomplish phase, as well as many ideas for how to make that experience better. Taking that into account, consider the following questions. Number 1. What is one thing you can start doing tomorrow to make the experience your customers have in the accomplish phase even better? Number 2. Who would you need to talk to in order to make this happen? Number 3. How would you know if you've succeeded in making this improvement? Number 4. How would you measure the improvement of the overall customer experience? Number 5. How would you share this impact with the rest of the organization? From accomplish to adopt. Now that you've helped the customer achieve their original goal or goals in the accomplish phase, let's consider how to turn that customer into a customer for life. Chapter 14. Phase 7. Adopt. Here's the overview of the adopt phase. In the adopt phase, the customer adopts the business and proudly shows support and affinity for the brand. Having accomplished the original goal, the customer now decides to double down on the association and establish a long-term relationship. At this point, the customer mentally and emotionally commits to continuing the business relationship even if another purchase isn't obviously imminent. Only after a customer has adopted the business's way of operating and taken a personal ownership stake in the relationship can they be considered loyal. A special place for people with a serious beauty addiction. Sephora makes its most loyal customers feel incredibly special as it marks the adopt phase with an invitation to join a powerful loyalty program. Headquartered in Paris, Sephora is a retail shop that sells makeup, hair products, and other beauty items at retail locations around the world. As part of Sephora's customer tracking program, it identifies which customers are the most loyal and invites them to be a part of VIB Rouge, Very Important Beauty Insider Rouge. I learned about the VIB Rouge program when my wife came home and handed me a black padded envelope with red and silver printing. When I opened it, I found a smooth paper box with raised red print lettering that read, "Sephora VIB Rouge." I slid the box sleeve open and found an insert with embossed ink that repeated the Sephora VIB Rouge message, along with an engaging invitation. Welcome to the top. There's a special place for people with a serious beauty addiction. It's called VIB Rouge. Below the insert card was a metallic card that said VIB Rouge along with a tube of lipstick. The metallic membership card was polished to such a sheen that I could see my own reflection in it. The package also included a custom lipstick in a unique color available only to VIB Rouge members. This VIB Rouge package congratulated the customer on achieving a milestone of spending more than $1,000 at Sephora over the previous year, which my wife did after purchasing gift sets for all the women in our extended families. What can I say? I'm one of seven kids, so there are many gifts under the Christmas tree each year. By treating its high-end customers to a loyalty program that provides exclusive lipsticks, special access to new products, discount shopping days, and multiple opportunities for gathering loyalty points, Sephora re-energizes and elevates the relationship with its most loyal and active customers. In many ways, Sephora sees the transition to the adopt phase as ushering in an entirely new customer relationship. By focusing on these power purchasers, Sephora cements the brand loyalty of its best customers and gets them to purchase even more products and services. In doing so, it ends up taking an existing customer and propelling them forward into a new type of customer, the loyal and steadfast adopter. Here's my quick takeaway. Elevate good customers into even better customers by creating exclusive experiences and allowing them to earn unique rewards. By establishing an exclusive membership tier for your top customers, you build affinity and give them yet another reason to continue doing business with you, something the airline frequent flyer programs have known for years. The customer takes ownership. The adopt phase occurs when the onus for maintaining the relationship shifts from the company to the customer. The customer has accomplished the original goal and achieved their desired result, so they adopt the brand, thus declaring their loyalty. This declaration might be a formal public statement of commitment, a subconscious decision to stay loyal, or any number of stated or unstated activities that evince an ongoing commitment. What matters is that the customer has begun to regard your company with a new emotion. To adopt means to take on an enhanced level of responsibility for a relationship. When an individual adopts a child, in essence, they raise a hand and say, "I will be responsible for this person. I will make sure they are taken care of and well provided for going forward." In this phase of the customer journey, the customer says to themselves, "I will take a deeper responsibility for owning this relationship. I will take a leadership role in communicating with the company to make sure our relationship stays strong, and I will be loyal to the company for the foreseeable future." At this point, the customer has acclimated to the organization and understands most aspects of the way business is done. The customer is now part of the brand and the culture. As a member of the tribe, they are able to anticipate what comes next. They don't need to wait for you to move the conversation forward. The adopt phase is wonderful. At this point, the customer is happy to volunteer additional insight into your process, give unsolicited feedback on what is and isn't working, and may even preemptively schedule calls with you to discuss your work together. Regrettably, most companies never reach this stage. Somewhere along the way, most likely during the acclimate phase, the company fails to take care of the relationship in a way that makes the customer feel significant. As a result, the customer drifts away. When the company doesn't deliver on the customer's expectations and fails to fulfill the minimum threshold for a relationship, the customer isn't able to reach the adopt phase. When it comes to successfully navigating the adopt phase, there are two key components. First, a business should make it easy for customers to express their brand loyalty. Second, once this loyalty is shared, the best businesses will step in to reward that loyalty on a consistent and ongoing basis. Express yourself from 30 feet away. In a corporate setting, the phrase fanboy or fangirl is most often associated with Apple. Though some would argue that Apple's standing in the marketplace has had its highs and lows, when Apple releases a new product, lines still form at their retail stores hours and even days before the official release. Many Apple customers will admit that they don't even care what the new product or service is. If Apple is making it, they want it. Founder and longtime CEO Steve Jobs observed, "A lot of times, people don't know what they want until you show it to them." This level of adoption and commitment to the relationship, the products, and the services is not the norm in the corporate world. When Apple first created white earbuds, it was a revolutionary moment in earphone and earbud design. Prior to that, the world of headphones could best be described by paraphrasing the famous saying attributed to Henry Ford when discussing the Model T. "Any customer can have any color that he wants, so long as it is black." When Apple introduced the white earbuds in 2001 to coincide with the launch of the first iPod, it separated itself from the competition and gave a visual marker for what it meant to adopt its product. If you were riding on a subway, taking the bus, or walking down the street and you saw someone wearing white earbuds, you knew that person had an Apple product in their pocket. The white earbuds sent a message about the customer's level of adoption, commitment, and fanaticism. If you were wearing white earbuds, you were a buyer of Apple's products. If you were a buyer of Apple's products, you were almost certainly a fan. This marker of adoption became so prevalent in the United States that it affected personal safety on public transportation. Thieves knew that if someone was wearing white earbuds, they likely had a $300-plus device in their pocket. The number of robberies increased, and police around the country began to warn customers of the consequences of their brand loyalty. With Apple's release of wireless earbuds, or AirPods, in 2016, the conversation evolved once again. Now the most loyal of Apple fans could be seen walking around with small white prongs sticking out of their ears. The first time I saw these earbuds in the wild, I did a double take. Like most people, I'd grown accustomed to living in a world where I regularly saw individuals wearing headphones, but I expected to see wires connecting the wearer to the device. The new design of Apple's earbuds was both eye-catching and trend-setting, and it was just a matter of time before wireless earbuds became ubiquitous. Here's my quick takeaway. Make it easy for your best customers to express their loyalty. If your customers are proud to be associated with your brand, they will want others to know about their brand affiliation. Make showing their support easy and fun. When your accountant gets a tattoo. When it comes to the world of motorcycles, most riders will happily agree that the Harley-Davidson brand is in a class of its own. The loyalty and commitment to Harley-Davidson, demonstrated by riders and fans around the world, has risen to such a level that often a Harley owner will get a tattoo of the brand logo. In many ways, this takes branding to the ultimate extreme. For nearly every business on the planet, the likelihood of getting your customers to tattoo your logo onto their bodies is extremely rare. Yet time and time again, Harley-Davidson fans and customers show their adoption of and commitment to the business by branding themselves with a Harley tattoo. What in the world would drive someone to tattoo a corporate logo on their body? A belief that the logo represents their tribal affiliation. The most loyal of Harley-Davidson fans literally dedicate their own flesh and blood, at least a little bit, to show their affinity for the brand. For these individuals, their support has little to do with the logo and everything to do with the lifestyle the logo represents. It all comes down to what people think when they see the logo. Harley-Davidson gives accountants, dentists, doctors, lawyers, and other professionals a way to be an outlaw, rebel, or badass for a few moments or a few hours. The Harley spirit, ethos, and brand story are clearly identifiable, and as customers come into the fold, they begin to see their brand loyalty as a commentary on their general life choices. Harley-Davidson customers have a way to step outside their usual identity and become someone else. Associating with the brand, especially via a tattoo, gives customers a way to carry that relationship into every interaction. It also creates a sense of community, as customers can easily spot one another in a room, assuming the tattoo is visible. Harley-Davidson owners take great pride in their reputation, which was put on the silver screen and cemented internationally with the release of Easy Rider in 1969. Starring Peter Fonda and Dennis Hopper, the movie tells the story of two bikers who travel through the American Southwest and South. Considered to be a, quote, touchstone for a generation, the movie explored the societal landscape, issues, and tensions in the United States during the 1960s. Pairing self-exploration with the open road resonates with the experience of many current Harley-Davidson owners. Having come of age in the 1960s, Harley riders in their 50s and 60s today reflect back on their own self-exploration and open road experiences by connecting to the Harley-Davidson lifestyle. They take great pride in the fact that a motorcycle-riding, leather-wearing biker can also be an accountant, a doctor, or a lawyer. A current Harley rider or owner is able to live vicariously through the image of a rabble-rousing tough guy, even if their professional life follows a more conservative career path. As John Russell, former managing director of Harley-Davidson Europe, once said, Harley-Davidson sells to 43-year-old accountants the ability to dress in leather, ride through small towns, and have people be afraid of them. Any business that stands by its product and customer possesses the building blocks for creating a community around its offerings. By honoring loyal customers and giving them a way to self-identify, the organization establishes tight bonds within the customer base, to the point where customers may become so loyal that they seek outward displays of their brand affiliation. Here's my quick takeaway. If you have a backstory and ethos with which your customers can identify, they will see their loyalty to you as a commentary on their life choices. Give your customers the chance to be part of a larger community, and they will increasingly come back for more. Associating with your brand, regardless of whether it goes as far as a tattoo, gives customers a way to carry that community into every minute of their daily lives. It also creates a sense of belonging to the tribe, as they can easily spot another tribe member in a room. All you little monsters, put your paws up. A small but rabid percentage of listeners threw their hands up in the air when they heard me say that. Unlike the average listener, these individuals are familiar with the phrase given their fanatical loyalty to the international music sensation, 24 million albums sold and counting, Lady Gaga. In Monster Loyalty, How Lady Gaga Turns Followers into Fanatics. Customer loyalty expert and best-selling author Jackie Huba does an incredible job of pulling back the curtain on the loyalty of Lady Gaga's listeners. In the book, Huba uncovers a series of lessons learned from Lady Gaga that provide a guidebook for navigating customer loyalty. Some of these takeaways include: focus on your one percenters. Gaga spends most of her effort on just 1% of her audience, the highly engaged superfans who drive word of mouth. She's famous for calling fans' cell phones from the stage and inviting them to come backstage for a drink, as well as creating personalized videos and sending them to her most loyal fans. She makes her little monsters feel like they belong in a deep and meaningful way by sharing backstage, insider-only videos of her tours and music videos, as well as thanking them for their ongoing support. By building such strong connections with her supporters, Lady Gaga ensures their ongoing commitment and devotion. Build a fan community. Gaga connects her most loyal customers to one another in a way that strengthens their bond to her as well. By creating spaces for her fans to engage with each other, she instills a feeling of collegiality and belonging that pairs nicely with the messaging in her music and her overall brand image. Give your fans a name. Gaga calls her fans her little monsters, and in the process gives them a way to self-identify as being part of her tribe. Not only is Lady Gaga's music catchy, powerful, and engaging, but her approach to building meaningful relationships is worthy of study by any organization that seeks loyal customers. Once a customer expresses loyalty, a business must do everything it can to reward that commitment, and in doing so, to amplify it. Like Apple and Harley-Davidson, Lady Gaga created a system for continually acknowledging and rewarding brand adoption. Here's my quick takeaway. Unique words and phraseology creates a sense of belonging within your customer base. By focusing extra attention on your most loyal fans and adopters, you increase their personal commitment to you while growing your word-of-mouth support and promotion. Giving your raving fans a special name and encouraging them to spend time together acknowledges their support and loyalty to your brand. Smells like loyalty to me. In living rooms throughout the world, more than 2 million independent distributors and salespeople introduce individuals and families to the incredible uses and benefits of essential oils. The world of multi-level marketing has long been known for the hard sell, but few businesses in this space are known for their customer retention initiatives. doTERRA is doing its best to change that reputation in the industry by valuing both its salespeople and its customers after the sale. Known as wellness advocates, doTERRA salespeople are part of a multi-level marketing organization founded in Pleasant Grove, Utah by David Sterling in 2008. Wellness advocates sell the essential oils directly to consumers. Along the way, they are also expected to recruit other salespeople to join their downline, increasing overall profits for the individual salesperson, the recruiter, and the company. In the interest of full disclosure, doTERRA oils took over our home after my wife connected with my law school roommate's wife, a successful doTERRA wellness advocate, and became a customer and wellness advocate herself. doTERRA acknowledges purchases with a specific point reward system and provides a new free product each month for any customer who orders more than $125 in products. For example, a recent promotion gave a free Tea Tree Melaleuca roller ball for a $125 order and a free Deep Blue roller ball and lotion combination, estimated value $94, for a $200 order. The fact that doTERRA stacks rewards to encourage higher purchases is good for average order values, while at the same time rewarding customer behaviors it hopes to see repeated. These free monthly bonuses introduce additional product offerings to the customers and encourage consistent ordering by pairing each purchase with a free gift that customers will find useful. After receiving the free gifts I just shared as part of a recent order, my wife made sure to hit the same order goal the next month to qualify for another bonus gift. This commitment to delivering a consistent, remarkable experience contributes to doTERRA's impressive customer retention rate, which is nearly 7 times the industry average. Here's my quick takeaway. Reward your customers for continuing to do business with you. If you have a product they love, consider gifting them another item in your product line that complements the items they already use. You'll be treating them to the feeling of excitement. Everyone loves free, high-quality goodies. And if they like what you give them, they'll come back for more. Stay at our hotel and meet Justin Bieber? How did Starwood Hotels attract an astronomical number of fiercely loyal Starwood preferred guests, including me? As someone who averages 2.5 weeks on the road every month, I thought long and hard about what hotel affinity program to join early in my career. I wasn't lured in by any of the little perks that are by now standard in frequent guest programs. Things like free water, free Wi-Fi, larger rooms, etc. Although these are nice benefits. I selected Starwood Hotels because they take things to the next level with the Starwood Moments program. With redemptions starting at just 1,000 star points, the Moments program offers exclusive access to the biggest music, sports, and cultural events in the world. From private glamping, think camping but in a much more glamorous fashion, at Coachella, to Formula One racing, to attending Broadway shows and meeting members of the cast, Starwood preferred guests can bid on exclusive experiences. These experiences would be difficult for an individual to engineer on their own, no matter how much money they were willing to spend. The irony of this model is not lost on me. A customer likely spends extra money for services in order to attend events and activities that they could have paid for directly. Despite this fact, the Starwood Preferred Guests program has 21 million members worldwide who will go out of their way to stay at Starwood properties. By creating an environment for Starwood's most loyal adopters to have access to special experiences, the business honors its top customers. In addition, Starwood often films these events and then shares them, along with testimonials from other customers, on the in-room entertainment channel that every Starwood Hotel television is tuned to when you first step into one of its guest rooms. This subtle but consistent marketing effort further reinforces the benefits of loyalty to the brand. Here's my quick takeaway. Creating incredible bonuses for your most committed customers builds affinity and gives them yet another reason to sing your praises. The more audacious your loyalty perks, the more your best customers will give you their loyalty. Honoring these top customers and using these interactions to create shareable content provides you with the examples you need in order to promote the benefits of becoming a repeat customer. And the umpire shouts, "Play ball!" The Chicago Cubs are one of the most storied teams in American sports. After winning the World Series in 1908, the Cubs struggled to put together a season worthy of another championship. In 1945, William Sienas brought his pet goat, Murphy, to Game 4 of the World Series. When he was asked to leave, Sienas allegedly declared, "Them Cubs, they ain't gonna win no more." And thus began the curse of the Billy Goat. Despite the ensuing years of mediocrity and failure, Cubs fans remained exceedingly loyal. How, the owners and business managers wondered, could they continue to fan the flames? In 2015, a phone call set in motion a dream come true for an expert in the art of strategic appreciation. John Rulin, founder of Rulin Group, had chased the iconic Cubs for 7 years. He specializes in developing unique signature gifts for companies' best customers. And as a Midwestern boy, John wanted to do a project with the Cubs. During a call with a team representative, John heard that during the off-season, the Cubs' locker room at Wrigley Field would be remodeled. All of the old wooden benches and lockers would be removed. Not one to miss an opportunity, John blurted out, "What if we made speakers out of the wood?" The Cubs were intrigued. When John communicated with several speaker manufacturers to explain the project, the cachet of the Cubs' story didn't convince them. "This is the worst idea ever," said one speaker company CEO. "It's old warped plywood. You can't use old plywood to make high-end audio equipment." John eventually found some folks in his hometown of St. Louis who weren't speaker people. They were mad scientists. Intrigued by the challenge, they relaminated the wood to preserve the dents and scuffs that gave the wood character. Partnering with another entrepreneurial company that was up for an adventure, they used world-class listen audio components to assemble the speakers. After a great deal of trial and error, they were eventually able to create 400 Bluetooth speakers made from Wrigley Field wood that sounded amazing. The Cubs gifted the limited edition speakers, numbered 1 through 400, to their top 400 most important relationships, their premium seating holders, private suite clients, and top sponsors who committed $100,000 a year or more. This useful artifact was a purposeful, practical gift for the Cubs' most loyal customers. It was delivered via courier in February, the off-season, when none of the top customers were expecting anything from the Cubs. The feedback was incredible. Recipients begged for ways to get extra speakers. The owners of the team, the billionaire Ricketts family, felt it was one of the coolest gifts they had ever seen. The team exercised incredible discretion in not going back to create more speakers despite the overwhelmingly positive response. "We could have made more speakers for them, and the Cubs could have sold them online for a fortune," notes Rulin. But they wanted it to remain an exclusive item, something that couldn't be purchased. You needed to have adopted the Cubs into your life in order to qualify for this level of access. Rulin lives the philosophy outlined in this book. People think it's sexier to go chase new customer blood. They don't get it. The magic is pouring on gas to ignite existing relationships. I'd rather have a massive bonfire of my most loyal adopters than constantly light little sparks here and there. In 2016, the Cubs ended a 108-year drought and won the World Series. Did the speakers created by Rulin and his team break the curse? The world will never know. But surely the sound of the cheering crowd coming out of the signature limited edition speakers will not soon be forgotten by the Cubs' most loyal adopters. Here's my quick takeaway. Your most loyal customers deserve special treatment. Create something of unique value to them, and not only will they feel appreciated, but they will see themselves as part of a club. If there is the opportunity to add a dash of nostalgia, that will only heighten the experience. Exclusivity is a powerful feeling. Don't be afraid to create a limited edition item or make a special experience available just to those customers who are most loyal and supportive. Have a very merry Swiftmas. With 85.8 million Twitter followers, 104 million Instagram followers, and 73 million Facebook followers, Taylor Swift knows a thing or two about social media. Over the years, her deft use of social media platforms has grown her fan base, sold millions of albums, and allowed supporters to interact with her in surprisingly personal ways. Near the end of 2014, coming off a successful tour and getting ready to start another one, Swift took to social media and began to undertake a radically personal project. Later known as Taylurking, she investigated every detail of a group of her fans. What they liked, who their friends were, where they worked, and what was going on in their lives. Fans didn't know any of this was happening until out of the blue, she posted a single Santa emoji on their social media profiles. In the beginning, fans had no idea what this emoji meant, until the boxes started arriving. Enormous FedEx boxes, or SwiftX boxes, as she called them, were delivered to unsuspecting fans, filled with handwritten notes from Swift and presents that had been hand-selected by her in accordance with the fans' interests. The Swiftmas, as it came to be known, was another instant hit. A YouTube video of the first Swiftmas, Taylor Swift's gift-giving of 2014, has been viewed more than 18 million times and shows Swift personally wrapping and packing dozens of Christmas and Hanukkah presents. The video shows clips from her jubilant, crying fans as they received these unexpected gifts. Emotional outbursts and thoughtful thank yous blend together to create a fan-favorite video. The specific references Swift makes in her notes to things her fans are going through and the personal names of their loved ones showcase the attention to detail she brought to her gifting. Since this first experiment with targeted gifting, Swift has become a standout in the entertainment industry for how she rewards loyal fans. One fan received a check to help pay her college tuition. During the summer, Swift crashed a fan's wedding after receiving a handwritten letter from the bride-to-be's sister. Swift even traveled to visit her oldest fan, a 96-year-old World War II vet living in Missouri. They took selfies together, of course. One might assume that an international celebrity would outsource this type of investigating, gifting, and wrapping to an army of assistants. But Swift insists she does it all by herself, noting, "I don't take it to FedEx, but I pack the box and tape it. I have so much bubble wrap in my house." This level of personal involvement serves as an example for organizations and executives around the world. You're never too big to connect in a meaningful way with your most loyal customers. "Sending presents is fun for me," explains Swift. "I'm getting to know them on a person-by-person basis. When I pick people to send packages to, I go on their social media sites for the last 6 months and figure out what they like or what they are going through. Do they like photography? I'll get them a 1980s Polaroid camera. Do they like vintage stuff? I'll go to an antiques place and get them 1920s earrings. Do they work out a lot? I'll get them workout stuff." When you actually get to know them on a person-by-person basis, you realize what you're doing is special and sacred, and it matters. Your most loyal customers deserve special treatment. Often companies worry about being uniform in their treatment. Yet Swift's actions prove that this shouldn't be an inhibitor. She has millions more loyal customers than you do and still finds the time to randomly select a few dozen a year to receive special treatment. The word spreads, and all of her fans, whether recipients of gifts or not, feel closer to her. Here's my quick takeaway. Take the time to get to know your most loyal customers on a deep and personal level, whether through your personal interactions with them or by investigating their social media profiles. You can easily amass at least a dozen data points that can be used to create remarkable interactions. If you truly want a customer-centric organization, make sure that everyone in the company participates in these types of customer investigations and connections. Then take what you've learned and have fun with it. Any customer who receives a gift that combines this level of personalization with complete surprise is never going to cease being a fan. The relationship will shift from a one-sided transactional interaction to a two-sided exchange. Summary, Phase 7, Adopt. Creating remarkable customer experiences in the adopt phase. While most businesses stall out before reaching this phase, the adopt phase of the customer experience occurs when the customer fully embraces a company's product or service and sees significant results. In addition, the customer is likely experiencing improvements in unexpected areas of their business or life as a result of the fulfilled outcomes promised in the beginning. The adopt phase of the customer lifecycle is an opportunity to formalize a long-term relationship that goes deeper than a one-and-done purchase and results in the customer seeing you as an important or indispensable partner. Six things to do in the adopt phase starting tomorrow. By now, it's clear. You don't have to use each communication tool in every phase. However, if there was ever a time to expand your tool use, it would be when customers have adopted your brand. Let's reward them for their loyalty with creative tool use. In person. By the time a customer reaches this phase, they should have already experienced at least some personal interaction with brand representatives. If not, at this point, an effort to connect on a personal level will augment the overall brand relationship. Special training sessions and non-work-related outings provide the chance to deepen the interactions. Chapter example. Whether sporting white earbuds from Apple or donning the corporate logo as a tattoo, like Harley-Davidson fans do, giving your adopters the chance to publicly profess their love of your brand confirms adoption very quickly. Inviting them to participate in special experiences and difficult-to-access gatherings, like at Starwood Hotels, further acknowledges their status as VIP customers. Email. A more in-depth success survey allows for data collection about the individual customer to be used in personalizing future communications. In addition, larger data sets from these surveys will identify trends within the customer base and could alter early sales messages, systems, and processes for future prospects. Mail. Expert user guides and veteran tips help seasoned customers further adopt the product or service offerings. Now that the customer has taken on a sense of personal ownership for the use of the product or service, they are ready for the most advanced interactions. They are ready to use the product or service in unexpected ways to truly maximize success. Recognizing and rewarding loyalty with well-designed mail pieces adds a sense of physical permanency to the interaction and further cements the relationship. Chapter example. Beautifully designed exclusive perks, like those given by Sephora, reward your most loyal and steadfast customers for their continued commitment to your brand. Sending unexpected items in appreciation of your most loyal fans, like the Chicago Cubs and Taylor Swift do, creates personal and emotional connection while also providing for a moment of surprise and delight when the package arrives at an unexpected time. Phone. A personal call from a very senior executive acknowledging this milestone reinforces the brand's commitment to the success of individual customers. These conversations also offer insight into customer behaviors and habits, which can be used to adjust communications going forward. Chapter example. An unexpected call to your most loyal customers, like the one Lady Gaga makes, that comes with an exclusive, unique offer or experience, creates extreme loyalty and increased word-of-mouth marketing. Video. A key milestone or anniversary celebration video, showing the entire team celebrating the customer's adoption of the brand, showcases the brand spirit while acknowledging this important milestone in making a long-term behavioral change. Chapter example. Creating custom, personalized videos for your top adopters and fans, like Lady Gaga does, builds a personal connection that reinforces their overall brand loyalty. Present. A memento or artifact commemorating this milestone offers an unexpected surprise. By welcoming the customer into the highest echelon of active customers, you place a great degree of significance on their contribution to the overall success of the brand, while giving them a sense of ownership over the relationship and engagement. Chapter example. Unexpected high-end gifts, like those given by the Chicago Cubs, exclusive products, as offered by Sephora, useful free samples, like those sent by doTERRA, hyper-personalized presents, like those given by Taylor Swift, and access to unique events, as hosted at Starwood Hotels, shows a loyal customer that you appreciate their commitment and want to acknowledge it in a meaningful way. Your assignment: put these ideas to work. Now that you have a clear understanding of the adopt phase, answer a series of questions that are designed to get you thinking about how you can use each of the communication tools to enhance the overall experience during this phase of the customer journey. You've made it all the way to the adopt phase. Don't start cutting corners now. Keep at it, and you'll have even more customers shifting to become customers for life. Evaluating the current situation. Answer each question, then write two or three sentences explaining your answer. For bonus points, write down any ideas you have for changes that would make your answers better. Number one, what needs to occur in order for a customer to adopt you? Number two, describe in detail what adoption looks like. How quickly could it happen with a new customer? What does it feel like? What metrics, if any, do you use to identify and recognize adoption? Number three, in your current business, do you create remarkable experiences during the adopt phase? If so, what are they? Number four, on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is pathetic and 10 is world class, how would you rate the experience your customers currently have in the adopt phase? Not everyone will reach this phase, but you should have at least a few. Tools to enhance the future experience. Answer each question by coming up with two or three ideas for using the specific tool to enhance the customer experience. If ever there was a time to stop worrying about cost, team support, or implementation, it's now. These customers are loyal, and their commitment should be acknowledged and honored accordingly. Number one, how can you use in-person interactions during this phase to show a customer how special the relationship is? Number two, how can you make your emails more personal and familiar now that the customer is a significant member of the family? Number three, how can a customized mail piece thank the customer for their loyalty and introduce new and special perks for their continued dedication? Number four, how can phone interactions with company leadership send a signal to the devoted customer? Number five, how can videos showcase the personal and emotional connections between the customer and key members of your team? Number six, what present or presents could you give customers that would mark their commitment to you? Pick one now. If you've answered the questions, of course you have, you're a pro by now. You have a clear understanding of the customer experience during the adopt phase, as well as many ideas for how to make that experience better. Taking that into account, consider the following questions. Number one, what is one thing you can start doing tomorrow to make the experience your customers have in the adopt phase even better? Number two, who would you need to talk to in order to make this happen? Number three, how would you know if you've succeeded in making this improvement? Number four, how would you measure the improvement of the overall customer experience? Number five, how would you share this impact with the rest of the organization? From adopt to advocate. Now that the customer has expressed personal commitment in the adopt phase and is going to stay with you for the foreseeable future, let's consider what can be done to turn your steadfast supporters into raving fans. Chapter 15, Phase 8, Advocate. Here's the overview of the advocate phase. In the advocate phase, the customer becomes a raving fan, not to be confused with a regular fan, and referral engine all in one. The customer acts like a built-in marketing representative, singing your praises to other potential customers who might benefit from your product or service. Wait, we want to save it. Several years ago, I was in the delivery room as my wife gave birth to our first child. It was an incredibly significant moment for both of us. In hindsight, in the moment, it was pure mayhem. And mere minutes after our son was born, I stepped away from my wife and son to ask the nurse if she could help us out. "Could you please make sure to save the cord blood and tissue?" I asked. "No, we weren't planning to take it home and perform any number of activities you may have heard about or done yourself. Instead, we were hoping to save it for potential future use. The blood within a newborn baby's umbilical cord contains young stem cells that can help heal the body and have been used in transplant and regenerative medicine for nearly 30 years. In planning for this moment, we researched our options and decided to work with ViaCord, a cord blood banking service based in Boston. This service allows new parents to save the cord blood from a child's birth, cryopreserve it, and then use it in the future. Thankfully, ViaCord doesn't require a huge investment of time or effort to coordinate. You pay a one-time collection fee and an annual storage and blood banking fee thereafter. ViaCord also has a well-thought-out referral program. Very early on, ViaCord recognized that new parents who would be interested in this technological service were most likely running in peer groups with other prospective new parents with similar interests. Every new paying customer referred to ViaCord generates a one-year credit on the cord banking storage fees of the referring customer. The more people existing customers refer, the more free years of storage they receive. ViaCord's referral program works for a number of reasons. First, the referral doesn't happen until the customer has successfully experienced the ViaCord service. In our case, a courier came to the hospital and picked up the cord blood. The next day, I received a phone call confirming successful receipt of the specimen. Within the week, I had documentation of our storage records and the peace of mind that comes from knowing we accomplished our goal of banking the stem cells. Making a referral to another prospective parent is extremely easy for the current customer. The customer simply talks to friends or colleagues who are expecting, explains the benefits of cord banking, and either makes an email introduction to an account representative or sends a link via email that allows the prospective parent to sign up for the service. Once the new customer enrolls in the service, the veteran customer receives an email stating that the referral is complete and shows a credit applied to the veteran customer's account, equaling 1 year of storage fees. It's quick, easy, efficient, and valuable. The gold standard to strive for when establishing a referral program for your customers. One of the most common ways to acknowledge a referral from an existing customer is through financial incentives. Referral fees, bonuses, and commissions can be an effective tool to drive referrals, but only where the fee is significant enough to spark action on behalf of the veteran customer and commensurate with the scale of the referral. If I get someone to purchase a luxury SUV from a dealership and the dealer rewards me with a $5 gift card, it will likely be the last time I make a referral. On the other hand, if the dealer gives me a year's worth of free oil changes, my interest has surely been piqued, and I'll probably think fondly of that referral experience every time I take my vehicle in for service. Here's my quick takeaway. The best referrals come from happy current customers. Make your referral program easy to understand, even easier to participate in, and worthwhile for the referring customer's investment of time and effort. Your best customers most likely spend time associating with your ideal prospects. Creating the opportunity for customers to talk with their friends and colleagues about your offerings feels natural when you give customers the necessary information to make it easy for them to refer people to you. If you're going to ask for a referral, you need to do it the right way. By the time a customer reaches advocacy, they have enjoyed extensive personal contact with the company. The interactions and touch points have hopefully left the customer feeling confident associating their name with the brand and recommending it to others. This is advocacy, and it is the holy grail of business. Why? Because advocacy creates word-of-mouth referrals, which is the very best marketing available.